Christian, God isn't mad or disappointed in you. He knows you fully and loves you perfectly. He provided a savior, not a goal. You're free to be yourself and come on in. Welcome to the Grace Cafe.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Grace Cafe podcast. My name is Mike Adams.
And I'm Susan.
And today we're going to talk about sin management. You like the way I made that more dramatic?
Yes.
Sin management. Hey, before we get started, remember that TV commercial we used to see, and sometimes it still comes up on different social media platforms, about the husband and wife law team?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Hey, we're the husband and wife law team.
And it's on the radio all the time.
Yeah, it is. And I forget the name of the thing. It doesn't really matter. But in our area, that commercial comes on a lot. We're the husband and wife law team. Call us. Well, I got to thinking about that. And I thought, you know, we're the husband and wife grace team. Maybe that's what we should start introducing ourselves as. Hi, we're the husband and wife grace team. And the difference between the husband and wife law team is that there's a bar to pass there, but in the husband and wife grace team, there is no bar.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that's profound, right? Actually, there is a bar, but Jesus met it for us. He accomplished everything for us. And so we get to be mellow. We get to relax. We get to rest in Jesus because the standard has been met. God gave us a substitute, not a goal. And so here on the husband and wife grace team, we're going to be talking about the finished work of Christ woven through every episode. And that's what we've been talking about. But I like that idea of the husband and wife grace team. What do you think?
Yeah. I can't believe you thought of that, but yeah.
We could get some kind of jingle going or something, you know, to play in the background when we're introducing ourselves. Hey, we're the husband and wife law team. My name is Mike Adams, and that's Susan over there on the other microphone. Hey, this has potential. Anyway, talking about sin management, this came up in one of our conversations a few days ago. And what got me thinking about it again was just in performance Christianity, within the box church, within institutional church, sin is a big deal. Sin is like a major issue. And I'm not minimizing sin when I say that. It is a big issue. There's consequences when we, you know, do things wrong. But
consequences.
Yes, consequences. That's right. But there's not fear of punishment or anything right. Like that. But, you know, just the preoccupation of sin, preoccupation with sin. I remember several years ago when I was on Twitter, you know, back when Twitter was Twitter and it was kind of fun. I remember that Desiring God Ministries did a tweet, and this is probably 4 or 5 years ago now. And it said, "You're not saved by faith alone. Be killing your sin."
Wow.
And I'm like, that is not the gospel.
Wow.
I saved that. I saved that as a little graphic image that I pull up every once in a while just to remind myself how far off track the gospel can get. But you're not saved by faith alone, but be killing your sin? Well, you're a little late to the party. I mean, sin's already been dealt with. Sin was dealt with on the cross. Sin was paid for on the cross. Remember, John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, the one taking away the sin of the world." We get so preoccupied with sin within organized religion, organized church, that we lose focus of the fact, or maybe we never knew it, that Jesus' death on the cross obliterated sin so that you and I as believers, now sin is no longer our master. That doesn't mean we don't sin. It just means sin isn't a way of life. Sin isn't something we're enslaved to anymore. Sin isn't our master. We can not sin because sin is no longer our master. And when we come to Christ, we receive that forgiveness that was secured for us on the cross, and it's once for all. Jesus isn't dying over and over again every time I sin. He died once for all. And man, what a motivator that is to know that even on my worst failures, I'm forgiven. That even in my worst, in my very worst failures, in my worst sins, that I'm already forgiven. That doesn't make me want to sin. That makes me want to stop sinning. That makes me not. That makes me want to not sin. And because the Spirit of God is in us, sin is no longer our master. We've died to sin. And so we have the ability to rise above it. And that's good news. But even if I fail to rise above it, I'm forgiven. I'm justified. I'm pure. I'm righteous. I'm holy. These are things that I am and that you are, regardless of how our day is going. But we get preoccupied with sin management to the point where we think that. In fact, a friend of mine once told me a story when he was in the box church years ago and he was teaching some kind of a class, that the other person that was co-teaching with him misquoted Titus 2:11-12. And instead of saying that grace trains us to say no to ungodliness, he taught this class of people that the law teaches us to say no to godliness.
Ungodliness?
Or to ungodliness. Well, actually, the law will teach us to say no to godliness too, because the law increases sin. And so, you know, we get that backwards. We get so preoccupied with our performance that we lose sight of the cross. And that causes all kinds of issues. I've talked a long time. Is there something you want to say?
Well, I just think, keep going back to how preoccupied I was with sin. And, you know, you're just around people who are all preoccupied with it. So everyone, I think, at least from my perspective in my own heart, it was a relief to find sin in somebody else because I always felt so overwhelmed with my own sin.
It got the target off of your back.
Yeah. Which is so sad, so heartbreaking when you think about it, you know, that you could feel a little better about yourself if someone else was the target.
Yeah.
And that's just not a way to live life. I mean, gosh, it just sucks all the joy out of your life, all of it.
It does, because we forget what's already ours in Jesus. And we start to... It starts to breed self-righteousness. It starts to breed sin management in other people's lives and in our own lives. Instead of enjoying and living in the freedom that we have in the forgiveness, complete forgiveness of sins once and for all.
And in that, then you're allowing other people to discover their own freedom in their own time.
Right.
And you're not dogging them and after them and nipping at their heels to do better and try harder. You're just loving them and letting them live their lives.
I remember back in my sin management days, my sin management phase.
When you were a manager?
When we were part of the husband and wife law team, not the husband and wife grace team. But back then, when I was so preoccupied with my performance and gauging myself and others, my assurance was all over the map. It was like a roller coaster. It was up, it was down, it was up, it was down.
As was mine.
I never knew how I was doing. I wasn't sure I was even a believer a lot of the time because of that, because I was looking at myself. I was a believer, but I didn't have that assurance that was there because I was so preoccupied with my own performance. I was doing spiritual navel gazing at my own spiritual navel to determine, am I doing good today? Am I doing good in this moment? Am I there? Is God pleased with me? Instead of realizing that, yes, God is pleased with me regardless of my performance, because I've been cleansed, I've been washed, I've been made pure. By one sacrifice, He's made us holy forever. And that doesn't stop. That's never going to stop. But you lose sight of that when you're all about sin management. And instead, you get into performance goals like spiritual disciplines. Well, what are you reading? Well, that used to be a big question, remember?
Yeah, what are you reading?
What are you reading? And if you weren't reading anything, you'd make something up so that the person wouldn't ask any follow-up questions, right? Because again, we were part of the husband and wife law team. And when it's all about rules and regulations, you have to outdo your opponent.
Or have you had your quiet time today?
Yeah, quiet time's another one. You know, have you had your prayer time? You know, have you had your 35-minute or your hour and a half devotional? Are you reading through the Bible? How's your Bible reading schedule going?
Yeah.
So all this stuff that's make-believe, that's been made
and
up.
And none of it's bad.
Right.
In and of itself. It's the pressure and the law to do it that's wrong.
Right. It's thinking that it's somehow tied to my holiness. is somehow tied to my identity. It's somehow tied to my relationship with the Lord. But it's not. These are, you know, this is busy work. We used to talk about busy work a lot, you know, especially in different school settings. You know, the kids would get busy work to bring home, just busy work. And that's basically what spiritual disciplines can be, is busy work. Busy work so that someone else can gauge your performance, or you can gauge it yourself and measure it against these performance goals. And when you fail, you feel miserable. When you fail, you feel like giving up sometimes. I know I did.
Yeah.
And eventually I did give up when I hit a wall of performance. But looking back on that now, I haven't had the roller coaster assurance problems in so many years now.
No.
I don't even go there anymore. I don't go there anymore because I think I've got a better grasp, a better understanding of grace and of what the gospel is and of what the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, what he really accomplished, that I have died with him. His death is my death, that I've died to sin, and sin, you know, no longer rules, but grace does. It's grace that trains us to say no to ungodliness, you know, and boy, pour on the grace, because that's what we need.
Oh, I often think, well, one example would be, we had a young couple come to us one night, and they were sitting on our couch, and man, she was just going after him because he struggled with porn. And I mean, I'm like, whoa, I've never heard, you know, someone yelling at someone like that before. And, you know, a woman to her husband, to her boyfriend or whatever. And I was watching him, and he just felt such shame, you know? And I thought about, at the moment, I thought about how much courage it took for him to come and sit on our couch and confess this to us, strangers, because we had never met him before. And I remember just looking at him, and when I got a chance, I just said, man, you know that Jesus loves you, right? You know that this was taken care of. And I just shared with him some grace. And just to see that, physically, you could just see a change coming over him. And it's because grace is what sets us free. Grace is what encourages us to move on and live this life. Law just pushes us down and beats us down to the ground, to where you have no hope.
And really, shame is cornerstone to dealing with sin management in institutional religion. Shame is the tool of choice, because the solution there isn't like you did. It isn't to talk about grace. It isn't to talk about what you already have, which is the forgiveness of those sins. That isn't the goal. That isn't the point. That isn't the method. The method is, you need to do better. The method is, you need to improve. The method is, you need to get more disciplined, or the solution is, you need to get more disciplined in these things. You need to do better. You need to perform better. We've experienced that. We've been on the receiving end of that without any mention of the cross.
Oh, yeah.
At all. I mean, it wasn't even on the radar.
You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, I went into such a deep depression with all of that going on, and everyone speak, I say this in hand quotes, you know,
air quotes,
speaking into our lives. And it just felt like all of my wounds were wide open, and everything that they said was felt like salt being thrown at me and into the wound. And I sometimes wonder what it would have been like if those same people would have come at me and said, oh man, Susan, you are loved.
Yeah.
You are so loved.
Exactly.
And that's the message I want to give people when given the opportunity, is you are loved and he knows you. It's not about how much knowledge you have of God. I think it's Matt McMillan and the Grace guys have both been talking about love and knowledge, the difference, knowing God and having knowledge of God. And it does wonders to your heart to hear that you're loved.
It gives hope.
Yes, it does. Hope as opposed to despair and...
That's right.
Just whatever.
It's like that old song on Hee Haw.
Oh, gosh.
Back in the 70s. You know, gloom, despair, and agony
on me. Oh, yeah.
Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And then I forget how it ends. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Yeah, so it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
When we get into performance Christianity, we get into sin management, we lose hope. And the only hope is in your ability to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get busy again. And but you're going to fail again.
Yeah, and that's just what I want people who are out there listening, whoever they are, whatever place they're at in their life, if they're not hearing that you are loved and you just have so much grace on you, then maybe you need to leave and find a place where you can get that.
Yes.
And that might be your own living room, but it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to hear a little bit of grace and then all of the law team comes on the stage.
That's right. The husband and wife law team has returned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And law is what you're going to hear, whether it's the law of Moses or some make-believe rules that you're supposed to adhere to.
Oh, yeah.
In the group that you're in,
most of it's made up.
Yeah, law is law.
Well, because when I look back at some of the things that we said was sin, and I'm thinking, dude, that's not sin. That's just a poor decision.
Yeah.
Or an emotion, you know? It's just like, it just gets too bizarre. It gets too focused on sin.
But it gets labeled, you know, even non-sin gets labeled as sin by those in charge.
Yeah.
By those who want you to conform a certain way. You know, in the body of Christ, there's only one person in charge, and that's Jesus.
Well, I tell you, they like to say in a lot of places that anger is sin and depression is sin, anxiety is sin. We are human beings who have emotions and have mental health issues, and we're made in the likeness of Christ.
That's right.
And so to say that my anger is sin, there's a difference if you're going out and hurting people.
Right.
But to be angry?
Just the emotion itself.
The emotion itself is not sin.
That's exactly right. But in sin management environments, it is.
Yeah.
Or it can be, you know, listed as one of the sins.
Yeah.
You know, and here come the sin police in your life. If you're in an environment where there's sin police, like Susan said, it might be time to leave. I think it would be time to leave.
Yeah.
Because that's not healthy.
It's not healthy spiritually, for sure. But also mentally, it's not healthy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. You know, and that's where the, you know, institutional Christianity or the box church so often poo-poos any kind of authentication of depression. You know, depression is something that you're sinning, and so you're depressed. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, remember the old thing that we saw that blog post, you know, about doctrine cures depression.
Oh, yeah.
And you made a comment on that. And boy, all the defenders of the Holy Grail came up and, you know, took issue with that. But when you're free in Christ, you understand that. You understand that more because you understand grace at a different level or different pace, however you want to say it. You understand grace differently. You understand it, I think, more correctly. But when you're in that environment where you don't understand it, you have to make up for that somehow. And one of the ways you make up for that is you think doctrine cures depression. You think your ability to believe right cures depression.
And that you can choose joy.
Yeah, exactly. Choose joy. Yeah. Sometime we should go down memory lane and talk about all the little things that we used to hear in the husband and wife grace team, as opposed to the husband and wife law team. So, yeah, just the whole idea of sin management and of sin police and, you know, people spying out your liberty that you have in Christ, those people aren't all dead. They're still around there. They're still around. And you know, they come in and out of our lives sometimes at different times. And usually when we say something about grace or we write something about grace, you know, here they come. Here comes the team. And, you know, they've got the anti-grace message because they don't understand it. And you know what? You can't convince them of that.
No.
I don't even enter into that discussion anymore until it looks like the Holy Spirit's working in their lives to the point where they're receptive to it.
Right.
I'm not going to waste my time because it degenerates into an argument. And that's not why we're here. So when they're not ready to hear grace, I mean, you can tell that, you can sense that in a conversation or on social media or whatever, but I don't go there. I let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. They're on their journey and I'm on mine.
Yeah. It's sad though.
It is.
Sometimes I just really, there's a couple of relationships that I just really still mourn after all these years.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was just a real relationship and a real caring for those people.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. And then that, you know, that all went away. And
here we are. Yeah.
Here we are. The husband and wife grace team. Meet us on Grace Island. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Not Gilligan's Island.
Not voting each other off.
No, we're not voting each other off for sure. So yeah, we just wanted to talk a little bit about sin management. These are some of the things that we've been discussing offline. And we have such spiritual conversations. No, we don't. So yeah, this stuff comes up once in a while and we think, well, we need to make a note and go podcast about this. And
yeah, I just really want this podcast to be about dropping keys of freedom to people, you know?
Yeah.
If this is an issue that you struggle with, boy, you are loved and
exactly.
You are free and you can breathe.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we want the Grace Cafe to be about. We want it to be about grace.
Yeah.
Go figure. The word grace is in the title and it's operated, owned and operated by the husband and wife grace team.
Oh, gosh.
Where the bar has
already,
can
hear this
the bar has
now?
Already been met. There is no exam to pass. It's already been met in Jesus. And so we get to rest. Our part is we get to rest. I heard the Grace guys a couple episodes ago talking about being mellow. You know, remember Olivia Newton-John's song, mm-hmm. Have You Never Been Mellow? You know, that should be our new theme song too. We can be mellow. We can rest in Jesus. Doesn't mean we don't do things. It just means that at the end of the day, perfect love has cast out fear because fear involves punishment and there is no punishment in the Christian life. So we get to just be us. We get to rest. We get to relax. We get to enjoy the grace of God that's been given to us and the forgiveness of sins. And we want to pass that along.
Yeah, this is a funny note when you said mellow. I remember I was playing cards with a couple of our grandsons recently and someone said something about being mellow, and I sang that little ditty, you know, they call me mellow yellow.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the grandsons looked at me with on the side look and said, they call you Nana. They don't call you mellow yellow.
No one out there has called you mellow yellow? Really?
So anyway, I just had to throw that in because it made me think of that.
That's good. You have anything else to add here?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for joining us on the Grace Cafe podcast with your hosts, the husband and wife Grace team.
Oh, gosh.
Here at the Grace Cafe. I guess we'll close up. We'll call that good. So thank you for joining us. And until next time, y'all take care.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Grace Cafe podcast. To be a part of this ongoing conversation, visit us online at gracecafepodcast.com.